to that American football show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is one of the top suppliers in the UK for all your NFL merchandise. Check them out today at epsports.co.uk. Just as a reminder, if you do like what you're listening to, wherever you're listening to us from, please do give us a like and a subscribe and a comment if you feel it nice. It really helps us out. So thank you. Also, don't forget about our giveaway we've currently got running for the NFL season. EP Sports have given us a fan pack to give away, so make sure you're checking out somewhere there and getting involved. But onto the ELF, week 11 is in the books. The Dragons and the Surge have both been faded from the playoff race as Cologne takes the second seed in the Southern Division behind Frankfurt. Meanwhile, they couldn't have written it better. The Kings and the Panthers, last week of the season, playing for that final playoff spot. After a nail-biting game in Hamburg. But first, we'll get on to what little news we have, and that is this week's Chio MVP, three times this season. Madre London has broken 2,000 yards on 11 games. That's pretty nuts.
What is more surprising, the fact that he's done 2,000 yards or the fact he's only got MVP three times? I was expecting it to be at least five or six.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. I think we can just definitely just give him the MVP for the season.
Yeah.
And to echo what he said when he came on the show, because I was reading some of the reports on the ELF website, like they interviewed him about this MVP and was like, they're like, so congratulations. How do you feel about it? It's like, well, all credit to my O-line, my fullback and my quarterback. They did everything. And I'm like, damn, this guy is humble.
Yeah. Team player.
Yeah. Definitely.
9 games. To go and get 2K yards is mental.
Well, Gauthier was saying yesterday, like, Madre London's an NFL caliber running back.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be the next thing for him, isn't it? I'm sure he is.
I reckon he gets a shot. He's can't help to get that many yards and not even get on, like, a practice squad.
No. You say how humble he is talking about how it's his O-line, fullback, quarterback, but at the end of the day, he's clearly got a lot of talent to be able to put these numbers and be able to put as much reps and that he puts in as well.
You're saying he needs to get faster. The thing is, like, yeah, I just need to work on my speed. And I'm like, what do you mean work on your speed? You're faster than every other player.
You break through and you're gone. Like, no one has caught you.
Anyway, let's get into some of this weekend's action. So first game, we had the nail biter. Leipzig Kings are the Hamburg Sea Devils.
Yeah, so this one was the last game of the season for the Hamburg Sea Devils. They'd already clinched the number one seed in the North and home field advantage. With this in mind, they actually rested quarterback Jadrian Clark, and I'm not sure whether they rested or injured, but Xavier Johnson didn't play either. As Adam pointed out when I was watching the game, a lot of other starters did play, like Keanu was playing, a lot of the defense, Justin was playing. I think that goes down to the number of injuries that Hamburg had, and they've not got much depth at the moment. So with the Panthers' result, Leipzig needed a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. The game didn't start as scripted. Hamburg came out like the team with the season on the line. Justin Rogers returned the opening kickoff for 33 yards. Ampo ran 33 yards to the 4-yard line. Then Cisse, who's the starting quarterback, threw to nil. 25 yards, then Ampo, 4 yards, touchdown, bang, just like that. 4 plays, 66 yards from good starting field position. Neither team then managed to move the ball much in the rest of the second quarter. Michael Birdsong threw a rare interception to Curtis Slater. This gave Hamburg good field position again, going into the second quarter, On 2nd-13, Cisse completed a beautiful pass. Hamburg got help from the refs with a pass interference penalty that gave them 44 yards downfield. After two false starts on Keanu, Cisse rushed 10 yards to the 8. Then the next play was a touchdown to nil again. That was 14-0 to the Sea Devils. Leipzig just couldn't get going. And the only score of the half was a league record 59-yard kick by Sea Devils Anderson. That made it 17-0. So at this point, it looked like one-way traffic. Leipzig was being outplayed by the Sea Devils. It was like the previous game last week. Sea Devils got off to a quick start. I thought they were just going to absolutely destroy the game. But Leipzig then got on the board in the third quarter with a big rush by Awini for 26 yards. And Alpha Jallo actually ran 24 yards for a touchdown, 17-6. No further scoring in the third quarter. Fourth quarter then was a totally different story. It started with a strong Leipzig drive, capped by a 19-yard touchdown pass from Birdsong to Nuttall. By now, momentum had definitely shifted, and you could feel the Kings were coming back. Sea Devils were struggling to get any offense going at all. They only managed 5 plays for 2 yards on the next drive. With 8 minutes, 25 seconds left on the clock, Leipzig got the ball going, knowing that they had to score, but not leave too much time on the clock either. And they looked like they'd failed in that. Looked like Sea Devils had a chance to stop them. It was 4th and 6, and they went for it. Birdsong showed why he's one of the best players taking ownership, and he rushed for 8 yards for a first down. So Birdsong himself actually said he's not got legs at all, but he ran about 20 yards because he'd been chased out of the pocket. He went round to the right, ran, and actually dived for the first down. It saved the game for them, basically. So then that drive continued. Birdsong then hit a lovely touchdown pass to Nuttall, giving the Kings an 18-17 lead. They tried for a two-pointer, but failed it. So it was 18-17. There was still a couple of minutes left on the clock, but Sea Devils didn't do anything at all. And fittingly, the game ended with a sack by Carl Kitchens, which led to an extraordinary comeback. It was well-deserved, and Leipzig now, as Adam said, in with a chance of a playoff spot if they beat the Panthers. So my MVP is Michael Birdsong, 19 of 29, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, but his 8-yard run on the 4th down play, that kept their season alive. Interesting start I noted, without Michael Birdsong, they're 0-3, but with him, they're 5-1. So if you're looking for a league MVP and you're going with a literal definition of the most valuable player for the season, it's got to be Michael Birdsong. They can't win without him.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I got to half time and I was like, well, that game's done.
When you mentioned there about how they rested a lot of their starters, I think for Hamburg, obviously it's a good thing physically, but I think mentally as well, if they had lost this game with their starters on the pitch after they'd lost to Wroclaw last week, then they would be going into this championship game in the Northern Division, just thinking, God, whoever we're going to play, we've lost to them with our full strength team. So I think that probably helped them. Obviously, they would have rather have got the win, but yeah, I just think that's a bit of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Hamburg are going in with the worst possible preparation, though. So they've lost this game. They lost to the Panthers. The week before that, I think it was Berlin that they only just beat. So their confidence got a bit down. They have got a bye week next week. So hopefully they can rest up. They might even get some of the players back. So otherwise, because they've got to either play Leipzig or the Panthers. And they're two teams that are doing really well at the minute. So let's see.
Yeah, the Northern Division definitely looks more fluid than the Southern Division, to say.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so speaking of the Southern Division, I have the Frankfurt Galaxy going to Barcelona to play the Dragons. So Barcelona had to win big to keep their road to the playoffs in sight. But unfortunately, the very stoic defence of Frankfurt kept them off that. In fact, the first half would only see each team scoring once. And there was a lot of bad special team snaps in this game. I mean, if you look at any of the kicks, there was probably a snap that went wrong. So game started off with Vili Velasti from the Galaxy forcing a fumble on the Dragons' first play from scrimmage, recovered on the 23-yard line. But credit to the Dragons, they forced a 3-and-out straight away and the field goal was missed, which is very un-Galaxy-like. Velasti would get another sack on the next drive for the Dragons, forcing a 3-and-out. And then the Galaxy kind of got their offense in order and powered down the field on the back of Regular and Mahongu. Mahongu got the 12-yard touchdown here, but the PAT was no good. Galaxy would then kick it to the return master, Gene Constant, who got a 100-yard touchdown straight off the back of that, which was a great run. He was running around his own teammates. He's just so quick. If you watch it, once he's passed him, no one's near him. But yeah, PAT was again no good, 6-6. So rest of the half was really just a back and forth. Not too much happened. The Dragons DB, Nico Lester, he got an interception on a deep ball in the end zone. It wasn't a deep loss, a different game. But yeah, he did get an interception right on the end zone, which pretty much put a stop to the Galaxy's first half. And then the half ended there. So second half was started similarly. Dragons interception, though, called back to penalty, which is a bit gutting. Then Galaxy started getting going again. Regler got a really good third down catch. And then Sullivan launched it down to Shorce for the touchdown. Mahungu would get the two-point attempt here. And then more bad snapping led the Dragons to another three and out. And, of course, Galaxy would then look to Regler and Mahungu again for a really good drive down the field. It resulted in a 22-yard touchdown to Regler. And Dragons were pretty much in desperation mode now. They had to win by a good amount to get into the playoffs, so it was pretty desperate. And Zach Edwards started connecting with Remy Bertolini a couple of times, got a nice touchdown off of that. And Edwards ran in the two-point attempt himself, which was a really good run for him. Got into within one score, 22-14. But then the Galaxy ran out the rest of the quarter with 7.5 minutes left to go. But yeah, that ended the game, stood on the neck of the Dragons, and they are being faded from the playoffs. MVP for this, it was pretty balanced spreadsheet, but I've given it to Sebastian Gauthier. 9 solo tackles, 3 tackles for loss. Also mentioning Velocity, who I mentioned at the beginning, 2.5 sacks, including a forced fumble and recovery. And honourable mention goes to Gene Constant, who only got 27 yards receiving, but 193 kick return yards, including his 100-yard touchdown. But yeah, Dragons are out, Galaxy look good. And if I haven't mentioned yet, we have just interviewed Sebastian Gauthier. So that'll be coming out soon. Really nice guy. So make sure you have a listen to that.
So that's the Dragons done now, isn't it? That's their 10 games.
I think they needed something ridiculous, like they had to win by 27 points or something to even have a chance. And against the Galaxy, you're not going to have much of a hope to do that.
No, it's tough. I mean, what would we... If you were to rate their season out of 10?
It's a problem, though, because if you separate, like, quarterback, receiver play, easy 10 out of 10, probably the best.
Yeah.
Defense... They had a really good defense. You've got Fernandez on the line. You've got Lester in the backfield.
Yeah, Lester's been brilliant.
It's just that O-line. Like, their early season with that O-line, at the first 3 or 4 games, they just didn't give Zach an opportunity to win. If they win 2 of those games, they're in the playoffs.
See, I couldn't name Dragons running back, I don't think. Pretty much every other team.
Adrian Jimenez.
Okay. So if you look at statistically, Barcelona have got the second best quarterback statistically. They've got the number one and the number two statistically best receivers. Yeah. So it tells you everything.
But I think it's a positive in a way. They, you know, if they keep these players that they've got, they've got a real good foundation to build on. So I'm just hoping that that's what they can do next year.
It's a case of next year, because we've debated, is it going to be a case of everyone just leaves their team and goes, right, I'm going to go where I want to go? Or is it going to be there's a good amount of loyalty with the teams, new talent's just going to prop them up a bit and you won't see too many big name changes? Or are we going to see Zach Edwards playing for the Galaxy? We're going to see Lucas playing for the Sea Devils? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, we know from somebody that contracts are short. So I think there will be a lot of change. A lot of people leaving the league, a lot of people changing teams. Yeah, yeah. And I think it depends on the coaching staff as well. Because if you're on, I can't think of an exact, I don't want to pick on anyone in particular, but if you're on a team and you don't get on with the coach and you're like, I like this league, but I can go and play on that team. Or flip side, if you're playing for Coach K, for example, like, and
because he brought so many players over from the universe.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's gone now, got a good reputation throughout Europe. So they're like, I want to play for that guy, especially if Frankfurt go on and win.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be loyalty to coaches there, at least, because there's not too many high-level coaches that you'd want to play for. Okay. Moving on, do you want to run us through your game there, Joe?
Yeah, so I took the other team trying to fight for that second place in the North Division in the playoffs. I took the Wroclaw Panthers up against the Berlin Thunder. In Wroclaw, the Panthers won 35-12. So, note on the Thunder, they've been sort of playing around with their quarterbacks, just trying out different things. Zebre, who's a wide receiver slash quarterback, he started in the QB position for the Thunder instead of Calvin Stitt. just to point out before we, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't his best game. Stats weren't amazing. 25% completion rate for only 3 yards. So it shows you how good the Panthers were sort of all over them, but also how much the Thunder, as someone who's watched them a bit closer, as I like to call myself a Thunder fan for this year, they just haven't managed to get things going. They've had some exciting moments, but yeah, so they started with Zebra at quarterback. Unfortunately, it wasn't perfect. The first play of note in the game was about after 5 minutes when Zebra threw the ball into the arms of Usamek, who ran the ball to the Berlin 22. 6 snaps later, O'Connor threw his first touchdown of the game to his wide receiver, Bennett. The PAT was missed as the Panthers led 6-0. It wasn't long before the Panthers had the ball back, and after being set up by an impressive run from our friend Pasqualini, Tard lead at the kicker. He kicked a field goal to add 3. He also kicked another field goal very shortly after to make sure Wroclaw were 12-0 up at the break. So not too much action going on, just the 1 touchdown and 2 field goals. So it wasn't the most amazing game, but, you know, Wroclaw were doing what they needed to do because it's a very important game for them, this. It was an impressive game, however, from Turpin for the Panthers, who's quick, agile runs. I don't know how much you boys have noticed of him this year, but he can almost just turn on the sixpence and is just the most, well, probably one of the most agile blokes in the league. He set himself up for a 15-yard touchdown, and he was a problem for Berlin all game. The PAT was converted. The Panthers went 19-0 to the good. And not so long after, Leader kicked his 3rd field goal of the game to kick off the 4th quarter. So it was 22-0 going into the 4th quarter. As I mentioned earlier, they've been playing around their quarterback. So at halftime, the Thunder chucked on Calvin Stitt to change things up, and it paid homage in the 4th quarter as he found his favourite target, Shontavious Jones, for a 74-yard touchdown. It was one of those where Stitt threw him. I mean, he was in double coverage, so Jones did really well to pick the ball up. And the Panthers defensive backs had a lot of time and a lot of sort of yardage on him. But Shontavious, I think he took 2 steps and he was gone. And he just ran in for the touchdown. He's been another one of those players who has been on one of the sort of less impressive teams, but he will, whatever happens. Yeah, he sticks out like a sore thumb. He's that good on that team. So after a nice drive, not too soon after, O'Connor found Turpin for a nice 22-yard touchdown to fully take the game out of Berlin's reach. They didn't dishearten the Thunder, though. However, they scored on the next drive. After a couple penalties from the Panthers, Stitt rushed in to score yet another rush touchdown for him this year. I was trying to find out how many it was that he's done this year, but that must be about 5 or 6. And a lot of the time when the Thunder just get in that position, Stitt just takes the ball and runs it in. There have been some questions regarding Stitt's passing this year, but one thing for sure is that his running is very, very good. The Panthers, they're a very determined team, and this showed as they made a big push with a few minutes left. And after a few plays, O'Connor threw the ball to Ziba for the quarterback's 3rd touchdown of the game. So the game finished there, finished 35-12. It was comfortable for the Panthers. A lot of people maybe thought it would be close. Sorry, it would be a bit more of a thumping. It was a lot closer than we thought. When it comes down to it, wins obviously are the most important thing, but points scored is very important in the ELF. So for me, I was thinking, why haven't they pulled off a lot of their starters? They've got a massive game next week, but it's just purely the fact they need insurance points in case things go badly wrong for them. So, yeah, the Thunder go to play the Surge next week, looking for that 3rd win. I believe both teams are on 2, whereas the Panthers have an absolutely massive game in Leipzig to decide who gets that 2nd playoff space in the Northern Division. My MVP is tough. I'm going to give it to Turpin. I've just changed my mind last minute. You know, rushing and receiving, he went for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Lucas O'Connor, he had 342 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's just been one of those consistent performers all the way through the year. And another one that you feel, because Zach Edwards has been so good, his stats are fantastic. I think he's got the highest yards now over the season, which is impressive.
He's got higher higher yards. But don't forget, he's also got 1 game left as well.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been a fantastic player for the Panthers, and they owe a lot of their success to him.
Yeah, speaking to Sebastian about, we were just talking about some of the players he's faced. And obviously, he brought up Gene Constant playing the Dragons, but he said the new guy for the Panthers, Turpin, might be faster than him. So he's saying
so
that.
So quick.
Yeah, he is lightning quick. He said he's probably the new Tyreek Hill of the ELF.
He's got to be the best of the in-season addition for any team because he's just. I'd argue
Zachary Blair for the Surge has been pretty big as well.
Linebacker.
Yeah, and there's also a cornerback for. I think that might be Turpin I'm thinking of, actually.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And I just think it's a little bit, for some of the players on Berlin, if they were on a better team, Shantavious Jones and Jock Crawford, they would be putting up mad numbers. But can I just say to the people who designed the jerseys, next year, if you've got a number 7 and a number 1, change the font because they look exactly the same on the field. And it's really hard when you're watching to work out if it's number 7 or number 1.
Yeah, Jock Crawford. Sometimes.
Yeah, it's always Jock Crawford's jersey, isn't it? Anyway, yeah, that Kings Panthers game is the one to look out for, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And finally, the last game, we had the Stuttgart Surge going to the Cologne Centurions. Stuttgart came into this game fighting the favourites for the second seed. But both Barcelona and the Surge had a chance. They start off hot. Some big passes downfield by Aaron Ellis, but they were stopped at the 1 yard line, and then 2 runs for no yards and a 13 yard sack by the Cologne Centurions defense. Stefan specifically got that big sack, made the Surge have to kick a field goal. Cologne would then go 3 and out on their first drive, and they gave good field position to the Surge again. I think it was at the 4 yard line. But it doesn't matter. Ellis threw an interception. Nice deep ball to Jansen. And then Cologne was shut down again as the Surge looked to remove London from making an impact in the game. And weirdly, the next drive, Aaron Ellis had been taken out for the backup, Winterlich. He had played a couple of snaps before. But from here on out, it was just punts, punts, punts. A lot of good defensive plays against each other. The Surge DP, Ludwig Mayorga, got a nice interception. Ellis was back on the field after that, and there was a really good pass to Steigerwald to put the Surge up 9-0 after the pat was good. Cologne finally got their good offensive drive together. Quinton Pounds has been missing. This is his third game in a row now, so that is big for them. They need him, and hopefully he's back for the playoffs. But yeah, Weinreich passing the ball downfield multiple times. Touchdown was called back against Arras, right on the 1 yard line. But Weinreich did a nice sneak in for 6 points. But the TPAT was no good. Cologne then forced Surge to punt. And that was the half there, 9-6 to Surge. Second half was a good clash cover band because London was calling. I've stolen that specifically off someone. That was an announcer, but I like it. First drive in the second half, he rushed for 29 yards in the whole drive. He did fumble after a hit by Zachary Blair, but he would then get a 9 yard catch in for his first touchdown. Cologne's defense then forced a turnover on downs, and then again trading punts. And then Cologne would start another nice offensive drive. Really bad for the Surge here. Zachary Blair went off injured. He's by far their best defensive player. That was on a long Madre London run. Surge did force the fourth down, but backup quarterback for the Cologne Centurions, Novak, converted it. And then the following play, London got a big 40-yard run straight down the middle for the touchdown. Cologne was fired up now. They weren't going to get stopped. And the defense got a sack, closely followed by an interception by Mbe. Surge are down 19-9 at this point. They were playing the heart out. Credit to them. They weren't giving up. The Cologne offense, I think they started on the 13-yard line. So 13 yards to go. They stopped 8 plays in a row to stop the touchdown, which is really impressive. But offense got the ball back and just couldn't move it. And a sack buried them deep. They punted the ball with 3 minutes to go, down by 10. So they didn't really have a chance. And Cologne ran the game out 19-9. MVP for this. Who else? Mantre London. 138 rushing yards, 16 receiving yards, and a touchdown for both. And my honourable mention goes to Zachary Blair, who got 6 solo tackles, of which 4 of them were for loss. So that's a nice little stat line. But the Surge defense had a couple of stats thrown about. But yeah, Cologne head into the second seed. They're going to be taking on Frankfurt, which is a pretty gruesome matchup for them.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. You said how they're missing Quinton Pounds, and I think it is quite a big obvious miss. They're really going to want him getting back because this offense was one of the ones that, you know, really high scoring. And yeah, the Surge defense is a very good defense, but you probably would have expected them to maybe score a lot more points than they did this week. And I think that losing one of those dimensions is such a
yeah, because it just means if they focus on stopping London, they're normally going to be okay.
Yeah, but that shows you even if you try to stop London, 138 yards.
Who do we think our Tufts MVP is then? Look up through your guys' stats again. Who are your guys, Tim?
Michael Birdsong.
Birdsong kept his team.
Yeah.
In the.
I'd say Birdsong or Oakley.
How many times?
He ran a fourth down on the final drive that won the game for them.
Yeah. You look at stats, I think, like, Gauthier, like, his stats are really impressive. Like, they're really, really. But I just. Like, if you keep your team alive another week, I just think that's worth more than no matter how many tackles you make.
And if you just watch Birdsong play, his passes are just a thing of beauty.
Mm.
There's no ugly passes that don't go.
He's the most pro-ready quarterback in the
NFL. Oh, God, yeah.
But he's aesthetically it's just nice to watch him throw a football.
Yeah, Birdsong's a good guy. Okay, well done, Michael. I'm going to send you a text and say it's after me. But yeah, that's one more week left. What a long road it's been.
We ask this every week. Who's winning the big game?
So what big game is got to be Panthers Kings?
Panthers Kings, yeah.
Who's where's it at? Is it at?
It's at the Kings.
I'm trying to think. Is there any big?
I'm thinking Birdsong Masterclass. Or I'm thinking the Panthers. Just
I think the Kings actually take this one quite handily.
I'm changing my mind on the last week. I'm going for the Panthers now.
Nah, I don't think the Panthers have it in them. They've beaten good teams, but the Panthers have been beaten by teams they should beat. And the Kings have only lost to teams they didn't have Birdsong for, really.
It depends which Kings team turn up. If it's the Kings team that played in the second half of that last game, definitely the Kings, but they weren't very good in the first half.
No.
So,
are there any major injuries?
Not I'm aware of. I'm going to go for the Kings, I think. And also, what I didn't know is the other game, obviously, Stuttgart-Berlin. If this was the NFL, that would be for the first overall pick.
It would be.
And then you've got Cologne playing Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Which will be a preview game.
It will.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So three, actually, games is something to go for.
You've got do you reckon though Frankfurt and Cologne is just going to be like as second string as possible?
It's got to be, in it. You're not going to risk Madre London.
No, you're not playing Madre, surely not.
Nah,
yeah, you can't risk injuring him.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. It could just be that could literally just be a City starters game. But like you said, with Hamburg and Stingy, like, have they got enough starters to actually rest?
Well, that's it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one that they're going to be good. It's like the Steelers and the Steelers, Ravens and Browns. I feel like they always end up playing each other week 17, then the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let us know how you think those games are going to pan out. Of course, like I said before, we've got a giveaway running, but make sure you're checking out our social medias. We're putting all our content on there, our player interviews. Sebastian Gauthier, like I mentioned, we just interviewed. We've got Kyle Kitchens coming on from the Kings next week. So obviously, if they win, that's going to be an absolutely cracking interview. Where can they find all our socials, Joe?
Yep, our Twitter and Instagram is at TAFS_UK, and our Facebook is That American Football Show. And we have an ELF Facebook group as well, if you want to join that, if that's your preferred social media.
And if you like YouTube, you can find us on there, That American Football Show. Like, comment and subscribe. I hate saying that. But yeah, please leave us feedback. Let us know what you guys want to hear, what you enjoy us speaking about, if you think we're missing out on anything. Anything before we go, guys?
No, just but keep looking at our NFL content that's coming out.
Absolutely, yeah. Got a lot of stuff coming out there. Got some fantasy stuff coming for you. Should mention we've actually just joined a fantasy league with some of the ELF players. We've got Zach Edwards in there, Justin Rogers, Jadrian Clark, Dell. Actually, Sebastian Gauthier wants me to say get Coop on the mic as well. They want Coop from Desmond Cooper from the Galaxy to be the announcer for the finals.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've seen that this has been a thing that's been going round.
Get Coop on the mic. Hashtag. Yeah. Hashtag get Coop on the mic. That's what we've got to get going. But thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and equipment needs. And we will see you all next week.